right. Well, it certainly is good to be back here at Beacon Baptist Church. I want to thank the pastor for the opportunity to be here this evening and just be able to preach to you, share with you what the Lord's been doing there in the Philippines. I want to thank you as a church just for your faithful support down through the years. It's been a long time, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness and just allowing us to represent you there in the Philippine Islands. I am John. I'm going to ask my family to stand. They really love to do this, so I torment them everywhere I go. I have my wife stand. It's my wife, Christy, and then I have my daughter, Emily. I have my oldest son, Joshua, and then Jacob. He's the youngest. And we're so glad to be here. So glad to be back. See a lot of familiar faces, a lot of new faces also. We are the Winds Missionaries in the Philippines. I have been there since I was 8 years old. I turned 8 years old as we traveled across the United States. Back in that day, we would leave the East Coast, and we left from Ohio, where my parents were from, drive across to California, and then from California, you'd get on a plane and go to the Philippines. And somewhere between Ohio and California, I had my 8th birthday. We traveled that first time in the front of a U-Haul truck. It was just a bench seat. There was 4 of us in the front of that, and that was before seat belts and car seats and all that good stuff, and we survived. And I'm here, obviously. But somewhere between Ohio, California, and a Motel 6, I had my 8th birthday. Amen? Isn't that a sad story? But I thank the Lord for the privilege. I thank the Lord for the honor it's been all of these years. I can't remember a time really in my mind and in my heart that I did not know of Beacon Baptist Church. And just being able to come here, being able to see those that have remained through the years and are still here, and just being able to know your pastor, and just being a part, even through my dance ministry, of the mission family here at Beacon Baptist Church. So it's an honor to be here. A lot of memories and a lot of thoughts and just so much on my mind. But I'd like to share with you this evening something from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, will begin in chapter 1 in verse 14. Paul here, as you know, just to kind of give you an introduction, Paul here writing to Timothy. Paul knows the end is near. He's in a prison. Soon he's going to be executed for preaching Christ. Soon his life is going to be over, and Timothy, as he says, we'll read later on in chapter 2 and verse 1, Timothy is one of his sons in the faith. He's one of those people that he has mentored. He has raised up in the faith. He has instructed him. And I believe Timothy is there in Ephesus. He is the pastor of the church. There are some difficulties there. He's young in the ministry. And Paul is writing him, trying to be an encouragement to him. I had the privilege of ministering with my dad for 25 years, officially, I guess you could say, there in the Philippines, as missionaries together. I had the privilege to just really learn from him and just be able to enjoy the time of ministering together with him. Then in 2021, as you know, God took him home. And so I'd ask you to pray for my mom before I forget about that. Virginia Wynn is her name. Again, you guys supported her for so many years. And just pray for her. Pray for us as we take care of her. She is back in the States right now, staying with my sister in Franklinton, North Carolina. And then when my family and I return to the Philippines on the 18th of this month, she'll go back with us to the Philippines. Her and dad have a little house there, or he was able to make a little house there before he passed away. And it's right across the yard from our house. And that's where mom lives. And she still has kind of her independence there and her own little space. And yet she's close enough for us to keep an eye on her. But pray for her. She has had Parkinson's for about 21 years now. And that has led now to dementia. And so pray for my mom. Pray that as we take her back, we'll have the wisdom to deal with her properly, and that the Lord will continue to take care of her and keep her safe. But pray for her if you would. Dad, of course, is buried there in the Philippines, and I believe that's mom's desire also, to be right there beside him. And so I thank the Lord for the heritage that he has given us and the privilege just to be a part of that and continuing that. And I think that's kind of the idea that Timothy had, or that Paul had here as he's writing Timothy. He knows the end is near, and he has some really important things he wants to say to Timothy. He wants to impart to him, I think, to kind of say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be here long. I need somebody to carry this on, and I want to share some things with Timothy. I want to give him some instruction that hopefully will help him, from my experience and what I've gone through, to be able to endure and to be able to continue on the ministry that God had called Timothy to. I believe these words are somewhat weighty here. All the Bible is important, but Paul Paul, I believe, is thinking about the end. And when we think about the end again, we are not going to waste our words, we're going to spend them wisely. If I knew this was my last day, if I knew this was my last week, that I have an opportunity to influence my children, to influence those in the ministry of the Philippines and those that are under my sphere or circle of influence, I think I would really weigh my words and really talk about that which I thought was really important and that which I thought would really help them in their future. I talk about a lot of foolish things, don't we? We talk about sports, amen, and nothing really worthwhile about that, but we enjoy it. I talk about politics a lot. It gives me high blood, gives me a stomach ache talking about it. But you know, we talk about a lot of foolish things. But my point is this: if I knew the end was near, if I knew this was my last week, I think I'd really weigh my words. I think I'd really think and talk seriously and try to help those people I was leaving behind be the best they could be for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's why we're here. And Paul understood that. And he wanted Timothy to understand that. And he begins here in chapter 1. Let's get into it, to verse 13. He says here in verse 13, and we're going to read these two verses and then jump to the main text in chapter 2. But he says in verse 13, he says to Timothy, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." So he says to Timothy, first of all, he said, "Timothy, I want to give you this picture. I want you to hold fast. I want you to hold on to everything you've heard me teach you. I want you to hold on to everything that you've heard me say to you regarding biblical principles, how to live the way God wants you to live, how to be what God wants you to be. I want you to hold on to all of that." And then he continues and he says, "In faith, of course, and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 14, I believe he summarizes all of that. And he says in verse 14, he says, "That good thing." And I believe the good thing is not just salvation. That's a really good thing. I believe the good thing is not just salvation and the way to know Christ as our Savior. I believe the good thing could include everything that Paul had told Timothy and taught Timothy regarding living in obedience to the Word of God. All of that this evening, let me encourage you, let me remind you, young person, older person, wherever you are in life, all of that that God has taught us and teaches us through His Word, it is a really good thing. And I like what Paul calls it. I've got it underlined in my Bible. He says, "That good thing." He said, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit," or Holy Ghost, "which dwelleth in us." He said, "The good thing, Timothy, it's been committed to you. It's been passed on. It has been, we could say, entrusted to you, Timothy." He said, "Keep it," or "guard it." He said, "Pass it on to the next generation." This evening, we want to talk about keeping the good thing. One thing I want to do in my life, one thing, I guess you could say, if there was a mission statement about the ministry there in the Philippines, it would be about guarding, keeping the good thing and passing it on to the next generation. Because salvation, the way of God, living in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a really good thing. And one thing that Satan has preoccupied himself with and is one of his main functions is he is constantly trying to convince you and me, constantly trying to convince our children, our young people, our adults, constantly trying to convince us there's something better than the good thing. And he's really good at that. And I just want to remind us this morning or this evening, I want to remind myself, there is nothing better than the good thing. And we need to keep it, and we need to guard it, and we need to dedicate our hearts and minds and lives to passing it on to the next generation, because that's exactly what they need. They need the good thing. So Paul, with these very important words towards the end of his life, says, "Timothy, this is what I want to tell you. What I want to tell you is I want you to hold on to the things that I've told you, that I've taught you." And he said, "I want to keep the good thing that's been entrusted to you, and I want you to pass it on to the next generation." That's why we're here. That's why God has saved us. That's why we have been recipients of the good thing, not just for our benefit, but to pass it on to the next generation. And so we begin in verse 2, our chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says here, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. Every man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And then Paul says this to Timothy in verse 7, and I would say it to us this evening and challenge us. He says to Timothy, he said, Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless your word as only you can. I pray that you'd fill my mind, and may I say nothing more than nothing less than what you brought me here to say. I pray that you just help me to convey to each one here and challenge our hearts that we would keep the good thing. It's a really good thing. We live in a world today where we live our lives as if there's something better than the good thing, as if there's something superior that we could pass on to our children, as if there's something more important that we could pass on to the next generation. I pray that we'd be reminded this evening there's nothing better than the good thing. And I thank you that by your grace, you've allowed us to be a recipient of that. May we live according to it. May we obey it. May we pass it on. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says here, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First thing we see that would be present, Paul says, in your life, Timothy, is you're going to have to be strong. He said there's an encouragement here, number one, the encouragement to be strong. In order for me to pass on the good thing to the next generation, I'm going to have to be strong. It's not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to be an easy road. It's going to require strength. Now, Timothy, as we know from really understanding his life and studying the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he was kind of a timid guy at times. He hadn't really, you know, had that strength that you would see would be necessary to pass on the good thing. But he said, you know what, Timothy, you're going to have to be strong. There's going to have to be strength in your life and in my life in order for me to live in accordance to God's word and pass it on to the next generation. I'm going to have to be strong. I'm going to have to be strong. To do God's will for my life, I'm going to have to be strong. I can remember years ago, and I've probably told you from this pulpit before, because I've said it a million times, I can remember when the Lord was calling me to be a missionary. And I was there in the Philippines, had grown up there, had done the missionary thing for a long time with my dad there. And at an age of about 16, 17 years old, the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, John, not verbally, of course, but he said, you know what? I want you to be a missionary. He really wanted me just to surrender to his will, but I had a real strong inkling, whatever that is, that he wanted me to be a missionary. And so that was my greatest fear. Didn't want to be a missionary. I despised speaking publicly. Anybody here hate to speak publicly? Yeah, I hated it with a passion. I couldn't stand to get up in front of people. We had a small Christian school there, and in our school we had a thing, it was foolishness, called speech class. And in speech class, you have to give a speech. And you have to do it in front of people. And I couldn't stand that. It nauseated me. I'd be nauseated for 24 hours before and at least 24 hours after. I hated to stand up and speak in front of people. And so when God began to talk to me, really, through his word and through the preaching of his word, to surrender my life, I just knew if I did that, he'd call me to be a missionary. And I knew if I was a missionary, I'd have to stand up in front of people and I'd have to talk to them. And I'd have to have them look at me like you're looking at me this evening. And that scared me to death. But like Timothy, Paul wants each of us to understand in this process of passing on the good thing, we're going to have to be strong. And it's not about your talent and your ability. It's not about your intellectual accomplishments. It's not about your education level, your economic level. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's about his grace. His grace can take you and me and what little we are and what how insufficient we really are, and he can take us and he can use us in this process. And he says to Timothy, the strength is not in you. Don't think that you have to be good enough as far as your talents and your abilities and your intellectual accomplishments. Don't think that you have to reach a certain level. You can be a part of this process of passing on the good thing by the grace of God and it working in and through your surrendered life and my surrendered life. I look at all of the ministries there in the Philippines. I look at what the Lord is doing. For 25 years, I had the privilege of ministering with that, and we were there, and we were side by side. And then when God took him home to be in heaven with him, I thought, you know, how is a little John, how is, you know, dumb John going to handle all of this? Because I'm not overflowing in talents and abilities. Amen? Just ask me, I'll tell you. I always, you know, you take the gift test, you know, you try to find out what your gifts are. Never did too good on that. And I thought, how am I going to do this? And Paul reminds Timothy, Timothy, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's God's grace and what he can do in and through you and through me. We need to teach our young people that. We need to teach our families that. We need to teach the world that God has enabled us to be a recipient of the good thing. And we need to pass it on to the next generation by God's grace. So there's the encouragement to be strong. He comes down to verse 2 and he says there's an endless process we want to be a part of. There's an endless process mentioned in verse 2, and Paul kind of lays it out. And he says here in verse 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says, Timothy, it's time for you in the strength of the Lord. It's time to you, dependent upon the grace of God, to become a part of this endless process and to continue it. He said, here I am, I'm Paul, and I'm just going to kind of give you an idea of this process. I'm Paul, the Apostle Paul, and I, Paul, with my lips and with my life, I have taught you, Timothy, about the good thing. And he said, now, Timothy, you're here, and now, soon, I'm going to be gone. They're going to execute me. Timothy, it's now your turn to also, in the strength of God and by the grace of God, to pass on the good thing to faithful men. And then those faithful men, Lord willing, if they will grow and work in the grace of God and the strength of the grace of God, then they will pass on the good thing to other men. And you have this endless, perpetual process. And Paul says, Timothy, you have to be a part of it with your lips and with your life. He said, you know what, Paul? He said, you know what, Timothy? I've taught you not just with my lips, but he said, there's a lot of witnesses around here that can attest to the fact I don't just say it, I live it. And he said, with my lips and with my life, I have passed on the good thing to you. I have passed on the things of how to live in obedience to the word of God and to the things of God. I've passed on to you doctrine and teachings and the principles of God's word and how to be the dad we ought to be and the mom we ought to be and the young person and the adult and the pastor. All of that. He said, Timothy, I've handed it on to you. Now you need to receive it, keep it. It's been entrusted to you. You pass it on to faithful men, and then those pass it on to other faithful men, and this endless process continues. And we all have opportunity now and in future generations to be recipients of the good thing. I look at my own life, and I'm sure you can do the same. We have the privilege of coming to church every day, and we have the privilege, not every day, every time the doors are open, and we get to hear about the good thing. And man, it's not just for your benefit, it's not just for my benefit, it's for me to apply it and live it and pass it on. I need to be a part of this process. I can think of my own life. I can think about the Apostle Paul's. Not that they were like Paul or equal to Paul, but they had the same function Paul had in the life of Timothy. I think about ministering with my dad for 25 years, and he was the Apostle Paul in my life, so to speak. And he passed many, many good things on to me, and I'm so thankful. And they're good not because he was good, not because he was even a good teacher all the time, not because he was even a good example all the time. Amen? But because he was passing the word of God unto me, the things of God. And now I've received it. And you know, one of the greatest fears that I have, or one of the things that really bothers me in my life, is I'm like, you know what, John, you've received the good thing, and it's really good this evening. I can't say that enough. What we sang earlier about being saved and glory, I'm saved. Man, that is a good thing. Better than anything else the world has to offer. And you and I have the opportunity with our lips and with our life to pass that on to the next generation. The thing that always haunts me, and I pray you'd think about it in your own life, is I don't want that. I don't want that process to stop with me. I think about the history of Israel. Mighty God did so many good things for Israel. There's a lot of good things Israel knew about. They were the chosen people of God. And it came to a generation there in the Old Testament. It says, you know what? The moms and the dads of that generation, they failed to teach their children about the good thing that God had done for them. Then a few verses later, you see, it simply says, and there rose up a generation that knew not God. Why? Somebody decided in the process they weren't going to live and with their lips pass on the good thing. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. I would challenge you this evening. I challenge myself. I don't want that to be me. I think about it in the Philippines. Dad passed it on to others and then others and to young men. And now the Lord's blessed. We have men in North Vietnam. We have men in South Vietnam. We have men over in Indonesia and in Taiwan. We just sent a couple over to Tanzania, Africa. We have others that are going out. And now these faithful men are passing on to other faithful men and other faithful men. And this is just an endless, perpetual process. And we're all to be a part of it. He said, I'm not a pastor, John. I'm not a missionary. Listen, think about the life of Timothy. If you'll go back later, not now, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, I want you to understand, where did the good thing begin in the life of Timothy? In 2 Timothy 1, verses 5 to 7, Timothy had a grandmother, and her name was Lois. And Lois was a recipient of the good thing. And Lois didn't keep it to herself. Lois said, you know what? I'm going to pass it on to my daughter Eunice. And Eunice was a recipient by God's grace of the good thing. And then Eunice passed it on to Timothy. And then later on in Timothy's life, along came Paul. And Paul continued to train him and raise him up in the good thing. You see, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter who you are. By God's grace, if you've been a recipient of the good thing, you can be a part of the process of passing it on. Just had the thought that, and that's dangerous sometimes, you have these random thoughts, but I think this is a good one. My grandfather used to sit right over there. And I have no doubt he was a recipient of the good thing. And he lived it. And he proclaimed it with his lips, even as quiet as he was. And that influenced me. And I look at that and I challenge you and I challenge myself. Don't let it stop with you. It's a really good thing. And it's what the next generation needs. It's what your children need. It's what our young people need. They need to know about the good thing. Endless process. Are you a part? We're going to stand before God, I believe, someday. He's going to look at me and he say, John, what'd you do with the good thing? How'd you keep it? It was entrusted to you. So many people in your life influenced you regarding the good thing, taught you the things of God, taught you how to be the dad you ought to be and the husband you ought to be and all of those things that we find wrapped up in the good thing. What'd you do with it? Did you keep it? Did you follow it? Did you pass it on to the next generation? I'm going to have to give an account for that. We all are this evening, keeping the good thing. Encouragement to be strong. Lastly this evening. Amen. You like that word? Lastly. Do you believe it anymore? You know, a preacher stands up here and says, lastly. I wouldn't believe it too much. It's normally not the last thing. But we'll try to make the last thing. Paul exemplifies all of this by three occupational principles that he gives us. And then we'll be done. He says, first of all, there's the example of the strengths that you need. And he goes into this, and it's kind of interesting that he uses these occupational principles to illustrate this is what you're going to have to be, Timothy. And where you're going to get the strength to be this, where you're going to get the strength to accomplish this. Again, go back to verse 1. It's going to be by the grace of God in your life. But he says here in verse number 3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier, or enlisted him to be a soldier. Jesus Christ, if you've received the good thing, you are now enlisted as a soldier of Christ, and you are in a war as an individual Christian. You're in a war. And we are fighting against an opponent that, again, he is roaming around and seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy my children. He wants to destroy your children, our families, our churches. He wants to destroy us. We are in a war. And Paul says, my, here's an example of strength that you're going to have, Timothy. You're going to have to be like a soldier or live like a soldier. And he said, a soldier, first of all, endures hardness. He talks about the hardness or the difficulties, or even we could say the suffering that we may have to endure as we try to live as God wants us to live and with our lips and lives pass on the good thing to the next generation. He said, it's not going to be easy, and it isn't. There's difficulties, there's trials, but in and through those trials, as we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue to live in obedience to his word, the good thing, my, we will be that testimony with our life and our lips that will pass on the good thing to the next generation. You say, well, I'm not a very tough person. We're going to have to endure hardness. We're going to have to learn not to entangle ourselves with the world. That's what a soldier did. A Roman soldier wasn't allowed to do much. Wasn't allowed to have a farm, wasn't allowed to have a business, wasn't allowed to have anything that would distract him from living in obedience to his commander-in-chief, especially during wartime. And we're talking about an individual, he says, no man that warreth. This isn't a soldier during peacetime. This is a soldier that's a soldier during wartime. And he said, this soldier is warring, and you and I are warring. We are in a war. And my, we'd have to learn to endure hardness. Life's not always easy. It can be hard, but we must continue on living in accordance to the good thing, the Word of God. He said, not only live like a soldier, but he says, secondly here, he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What's that mean? Simply means this. If you're striving for masteries or you want the gold medal, you want the championship trophy, you're going to have to learn to strive lawfully. Just like in our day and times when they would have the Grecian Games and other things, they would have a panel of judges that would sit there and they would watch and make sure every athlete, as they performed whatever their competition was, they had to make sure they followed the rules. You didn't follow the rules, you didn't get the gold medal. And you and I are going to have to learn to follow the rules. And I would say in my life, and I'm sure if you would think about your life, every man that has influenced me for the good thing or in the good thing, every man that has been the position of the Apostle Paul in my life and has influenced me for the Lord, every man has been a man that has learned, or every woman has been a woman that has learned to live like a soldier. Every man that's influenced me, every woman that's influenced me has had to endure hardness. And they've done it in accordance to how God says we're supposed to endure hardness. Every man, every woman in my life that has influenced me, I look back on their life, they have this second characteristic. They have learned to follow the rules. That's what Paul says. You want masteries? You want the gold medal? Learn to follow the rules. And you see, therein is where we have difficulty. Amen? I don't know about you. There's just something in me. I've just got this little rebellious thing in me. When I was in Bible college, and most of you have gone to different Bible college or you have children that have gone there, but the first day of orientation, they give you this thick book of rules. It's not really orientation. They're just telling you all about the rules you have to follow. Can't do this, can't do that, can't go here, can't go there. I don't know. I don't know if it's the Howard Wynn influence or what it is, but there's just something about rules. Right? And we all have problems in our life when it comes to rules sometimes. We don't like them. People come to me all the time in the Philippines. Some of our young people, young adults, been around for years, and they'll still come to you and they'll say, Pastor John, I know what the Bible says, but I feel this way, or I think this way. And Paul basically is telling Timothy, you want to pass the good thing on. What you're going to have to do is take your feelings and your thoughts and submit them to the rule book. You're going to have to learn to live by the rules. Doesn't really matter how I feel. Doesn't matter how the world feels. Doesn't matter how all my friends feel, what my family feels. It really doesn't matter anything about that. What I have to do is find out what the rule book says, and if I want to strive for masteries, if I want to be what God wants me to be and pass on the good thing with my lips and my life, I'm going to have to learn to follow the rules. And then he says, lastly, I said that already, didn't I? He says, you're going to have to learn to live like a farmer. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The word laboreth there is not just working. It has kind of a stronger meaning. It says, you know, it's to work to the point of exhaustion. Farmers are hard workers. Even in our day and time, the modern technology that we have, the engines and the power machinery that we have, it's still hard work. But you know, as we labor as farmers, Paul's saying to Timothy, you're going to labor as a farmer. You're going to plant, you're going to water, you're going to sow the seed, you're going to plant, you're going to water, you're going to sow the seed, and you're not always going to get the harvest that you want. We plant, we water, we sow the seed in the Philippines, we have evangelistic meetings, we do all that we want to do or that God leads us to do to reach people for Christ, and you know, we don't always get the results that I want. I want everybody to get saved. I want everybody to come, be baptized, join the church and all that good stuff, but you know what? It just doesn't always happen that way, does it? I want our youth department to be the largest, to be the biggest. I want it to be, you know, I want all our young people to surrender their life, to go to Bible college. What a great thing that would be. I want all of that, but you know what? Paul's telling Timothy, you're not always going to get the results you want. But what do? You just keep laboring. You labor like a farmer. Farmers don't always get the harvest they want. I'm pretty much convinced of that. I'm sure they'd always want more. I'm sure they'd always want more. It would always be more helpful to have more corn, to have more wheat, to have more whatever it is they're growing. But you know what? We just keep laboring. And we keep laboring. And we keep laboring. Why? Because there's a Lord of the harvest. And like Paul said, he said, you know what? Apollos may plant, I may water. He said, in the end, God gives the increase. And what's our responsibility? Just labor. Sow the seed, plant the seed, water the seed, and then do it all over again, trusting that God's going to give the increase. Every influential person in my life that has passed on the good thing to me, I can look at their life and say, my, they live like a soldier. I can say, my, they live like an athlete. Oh, they weren't perfect, far from perfect. But they learned to submit their life to the rule book. And I can say, you know what? They went through some hard times. Things didn't always go the way they wanted them to go. But they just continued to plant and continue to water. And God eventually gave the increase that's according to his will. I'd ask you to pray for us in the Philippines. I'd ask you to pray for our ministry. This is kind of what we are all about. I want to see more young men continue in the good thing. I want to see my children continue in the good thing. But I've been placed in this process, as have you, if you've received the good thing. And I want to do my part to pass that on. You say, well, I don't think I can do that, John. I don't think I have that talent, that ability. I'd bring you back to verse 1 and say, hey, it's not about you. It's about God's grace and what he can do in and through weak vessels like you and me for his honor and for his glory. May you and I continue to pass on the good thing. May we continue to live like it is the good thing. We labor and we labor and we labor to the point of exhaustion to pass on so many things to our children that we are convinced are better than the good thing. And they're not this evening. They're not. This is the only good thing. And may you and I dedicate our hearts and our lives to passing it on to the next generation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the attentiveness of your people. I thank you for the privilege to be here to stand in this pulpit. For Beacon Baptist Church, I thank you for just the blessing, the influence. They've been on my life, my family's life. Just bless now your word. Speak through it. Make us more like Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.